Well, we've been working our way around and through the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to deviate from that again today. We jumped out of it last week a little bit, and I beat the resurrection drum last week. We're going to beat it again today. One of my favorite passages for this time of year is from John chapter 11. That's what we're going to look at today. And I came up with a good title. What's a good title? It's one that I think I was smart when I did it. That's what. And so, but it just when I think it doesn't mean that that really happened. But I wrote down on just on a yellow pad Lazarus, and then I put a hyphen down. I wrote bound to live. Amen. And he absolutely, positively was. And because he was, he's not anymore. he's not bound at all. So, Lord, we open our hearts to you today. Thank you for those that are live streaming with us. Thank you, Lord, for people that might be with us for the first time today. We just want to, would you cause the reality of who Jesus is to strike us afresh, new and deep and meaningful? And, Lord, we want you to have your way with us. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a few more definitions of resurrection. Had a few last week. You can catch the, if you want to look last week's, feel free. But here are a few I like. Michael Ramsey says, no resurrection, no Christianity. Amen. That's just the way it is. Christianity, James Stewart says, is essentially a religion of resurrection. Spurgeon says, the resurrection is a fact better attested than any event in recorded history, whether ancient or modern. Amen. Wow. He presented himself to, you know, Peter and James and John and all the 12 and then 500 more people. Lord Lyndhurst, who was a former local Lord Chief Justice in England, says, I know pretty well what evidence is, and I tell you, such evidence as that is for the resurrection has never broken down yet. Amen. And the guy took his place. Lord, whatever, Caldecott says, the claims of Jesus Christ, namely his resurrection, has led me as often as I have tried to examine the evidence to believe it as a fact beyond dispute. Amen. Some people say, oh, you don't really believe in that resurrection thing, do you? Yeah. Really do. And if you don't, you really aren't. You can't be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection because he is the resurrection. C.S. Lewis says, Jesus has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. And then I love this one. I snuck this one in the last couple times. C.S. Lewis again says, the man in Christ rose again, not only the God. When Jesus came back out of the grave, it wasn't just he was the Son of God. No, he's the Son of Man and the Son of God. He's human and he's divine. And that pertains to us as well. Many of you will know the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha and John chapter 11. But that's where we're going to start, and we'll stay there for a little while. So a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. I'll show you that in just a minute, but we'll finish this before we do that. Whose brother Lazarus was sick, and so the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So your really good friend is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death. Yeah. He knew in advance, oh, we're doing something with this. This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And that trips some people right there because people think that he loved Mary and Martha. Not so much. But it says here, he loved Martha and her sister, Mary, and Lazarus. So he's really good friends with the family. So when he heard that he was sick, he waited 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to his disciples, and we talked about this just a little bit in the prayer meeting yesterday, sometimes the disciples just didn't quite get it. Yea, verily, very human. But he said, hey, let's go to Judea again. Sure, they're thinking, that's where we got, they wanted to stone you and kill you. We want to go there? What a good idea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And you're saying, let's go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Then he goes on to explain it more. Then he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. And the disciples said, get him an alarm clock. I mean, they said, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll get over it. He'll recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought it was asleep. And they just didn't quite catch it. So when he'd spoken of death, they thought he was speaking about literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him. Now, he's talking to, this is like his inner council guys. You know, these are the people that, this is his posse. These are the people that he was actually training to take over the ministry of the gospel for the entire world forever. So it's a pretty big deal. And he said, oh, I'm really glad this happened this way because now maybe you guys can believe. Now, Jesus is really good at this. He didn't tell them this instantaneously, but he was going to give them something to believe. You ever have somebody try to... I can remember the first time. I was just a little kid working in my dad's body shop. And we didn't do a lot of mechanic work. We just did mechanic work that needed... because somebody wrecked the car and it, you know, bent the pan on the, you know, something like that. And I was a little guy, and I don't remember how old, but like probably 7 or something like that. My dad said, go change the oil in that car. I said, thy oil be changed. I mean, I didn't know how to do that. And he said, how can you be, whatever I was, 7 or whatever, and not know how to do that? And I said, because somebody in their 40s never told me how. He just pushed me aside and did it, which was fine for me. I didn't have to do it. But I thought, Jesus is not going to do this to his guys. He says, you guys really need to believe that what I'm saying is real and true. And he said, this is a perfect chance for you to see it. So is seeing believing? When he's shown, it sure is. And notice this. This is part of his teaching style. In fact, it says that it was everything that Jesus began to do and teach. So he didn't always just teach and then not. No, he expressed. He demonstrated. Now he's going to demonstrate. Nobody had ever seen what he's going to do. Now, the disciples had seen a lot of stuff like that. I mean, walking on the water, feeding 5,000, blind eyes getting open. They'd seen a lot of things they hadn't seen yet. But it hadn't exactly pushed him into stardom of belief. And now they're going to have this opportunity. I just love the fact that, and I'll touch on this again in a minute, but Jesus is not afraid to mess with you in order to get you to the place that you have been praying to get to. And so, you think Mary and Martha were happy that their brother died? No, this was not winning any kind of points with them. And he's risking breaking their heart in order to break the spirit of death over the brother. So, you just got to know sometimes, well, if I were God, I wouldn't do that. Well, that's why you aren't. Right? So, he will elasticize your believability sometimes and stretch that a little bit. Because, well, I just don't know how you could be God and do that. Well, you're right, you don't. and he just, you got to give him a pass on this one because it's not over yet. But you can imagine, I wish in some of these passages we'd get to hear what these guys were saying after he told them that. And of all the people, Thomas speaks up. Now, Thomas is later known as Doubting Thomas. So here's the voice of faith for you right here. Therefore, Thomas, who's called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, I got it figured out. Let's all go, because if Jesus likes people dying, we'll all die. Well, that's a great idea. But can you see how confused religion can make you? If God is pleased at this, because you can see that he says, I'm glad this happened so you guys could learn. Well, he wasn't glad it happened. He's glad for the outcome that's going to happen. Right? And so sometimes, I don't know how this could be. This is killing me. I mean, I hate this. This is painful. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. And if we, I'm going to jog away from this for just a second. I mentioned in the early part of the verses here that Mary was the lady that, well, here's John chapter 12, verse 3. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. So this was costing him. Therefore, Jesus said, let her alone, so that she may be kept, it may be kept for the day of my burial, for you will always have the poor with me, but you won't always have me with you. And again, he's instructing them about what's going to happen, and they just didn't get it yet. I love the fact that he didn't punish him for that. Yeah. He just keeps throwing stuff out there. So just retract for a second. Jesus said, let's go to Judea. And if I was the disciples, I think I'd catch on to this. And I said, wait a minute. You aren't afraid that Lazarus died, and now you're not afraid that you're going to die. What are we going to do about that? And I think Jesus might have said, if you guys have been listening, but that's not what happens. So anyway, he said, don't worry about the Judea thing. We'll take care of it. And then he makes it clear to him that Lazarus is dead. We've got to go there. He said, now you guys can believe. And I would think they must be, I'd be a little insulted after, they gave up their fishing license and all those kind of things, walked away from their jobs. Matthew was making good money as a tax collector, and they gave up their life and what they were doing, their career, to do what they say they believed in. They just didn't quite have it all figured out yet. So the disciples are not fully tuned in yet, and Thomas proves it by saying, well, let's just all go die. That doesn't get mentioned very often, but that's a very strange way to think about it. This is the paragraph I wanted to read to you. Sometimes circumstances become overwhelming. It doesn't look like God will ever come through. He may simply be working to birth faith in someone, you, or someone else. That's a good refrigerator thing right there. Because it's how God works with us sometimes. And that overwhelming thing is a big deal. Overwhelming. Whelming means just to be covered. Did you know that? I looked it up, trust me. It just means to be covered or covered over, almost protective. Because I remember I was praying one day and I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm overwhelmed. Could you just take me back to being whelmed? And I thought I was kidding. I looked it up. No, it's a word. I'd only used it overwhelm. Overwhelm means to be poured upon or almost like buried in circumstances and not feel like you're being covered over and protected. And the purpose of the enemy introducing overwhelming things is to kill your hope. If you feel hopeless, you're in trouble. That's not true, but it's real. And if he can get you to hopeless, faith's got an open door to walk out. Don't clap or anything about how good this is. But I'm serious. This is a real issue that when you feel that overwhelmed thing, some of it's because we live crazy. And the world is crazy. It's circling the bowl. It's passing away. It's atrophying. That's what the Bible says. Well, if things are going like that, you don't see many straight lines. And that's what's happening. And that swirl can make you hopeless or hope sick. Because you might remember when you did have hope and now you don't feel like you have any. I think I'm talking to somebody because I had no intention of spending this much time on this. So if you hit that spot where you feel like, oh my God, I can't do this. It may be that the enemy's coax you into taking on things that you aren't supposed to be taking on. And that's helping the overwhelm part. And the other thing is, now don't get mad at anybody, especially me. But it may be that he had assigned someone to come alongside you and they haven't done it yet. And so you're supposed to have someone that's helping bear your burden and it's not there. Hello? Yeah. It's a happy holiday, isn't it? But when that happens, then he'll come to your aid. He's the comforter. And if he assigns someone there and they didn't take up the assignment, he'll get the assignment filled. So take courage in that. Okay, back to John 11, verse 17. So when Jesus came, now they're headed towards Bethany to Judea. It's only 2 miles from Jerusalem. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So Lazarus had been dead 4 days already. This has some physiological outcome. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. See, these would be people coming alongside. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. You would think it'd be the other way around, but it's not what happened. Martha then said to the Lord, Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Well, I'm sure that's what he was hoping that she would say. No, it breaks his heart. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, yeah, I got that verse memorized. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. So he's the resurrection. He gets life into us, and then he sustains life in us, like forever. I mean, he isn't just the resurrection. He's the resurrection, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. So he introduces us to the life and then empowers us to live the life. It's really good. I know. Long time ago, this used to be bad. It's not as bad as it used to be. This is what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going to go over here and talk to these guys for a second. Because I've shamed most of you here. I haven't got these guys so much. But this used to be a problem. I'll never forget one day a lady stopped me in a grocery store and she said, I have to be gone Sunday. What are you going to teach on? This is a long time ago. This was like, when I was in St. Joe, this is a long time ago. And I said, oh, I've got a kind of a cool thing cooked up. I'm going to teach about angels on Sunday. Oh, Donnie picked a good time to leave. I've already heard that angel teaching. And I said, well, then I'll just go throw my notes away. And I thought, you can't afford to think that way.
That's right.
Now, I wasn't personally offended, because I don't think I probably had all the truth that's ever been exposed about angels right with me, I was learning things myself, of course, and you hope that you're teaching things that you know, but you also hope you learn some things. But I thought, that is an unteachable attitude. I already heard that one. Oh, you know how many other people on the face of the earth may be teaching about angels this week? It's not just me. But this is what Martha tells Jesus. Your brother's going to rise again. No, I already heard that teaching. I know it's at the end. I read the end of the book. Yeah, that's what's going to happen when it comes to the end. And she did. He was trying to tell her, like, we're talking like 12 minutes, you know. This is going to happen today. This is a pre-Easter kaboom. And she didn't get it. She thought she already knew what he meant and what he was going to say. Don't ever cut him short like that. Allow him, empower him to speak. So you were saying raised? What do you mean by that? Is there something, is there an addendum here that I haven't got yet? Am I making sense? And she was being loyal and faithful and all that kind of stuff, but she let her heart was known. She was mad. Listen, you know, I love you to pieces. Uh-oh, and now you're going to cut me to pieces. I've had people who love me to pieces do that. So be careful on that. But she said, you know, I love you to pieces, but it's your fault. Yeah. If you'd have been here, we wouldn't be talking about this. And I thought, oh, now he knows she's just human and lost a brother and, you know. But it doesn't say that Mary and Martha were twins, but they acted like it here. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And when she said this, she went away and called Mary her sister. So Jesus is obviously trying to take this to another level, and it didn't happen. And so... Darn, you kind of wish that would happen. So she tells Mary, hey, the teacher's calling for you, verse 29. It continues and says, when she heard it, Mary, she got up quickly and was coming to him. And now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. So they were going to go weep with her there. Therefore, when Mary came to Jesus, she saw him and fell at his feet and said to him, what Martha said. She said, Lord, if you've been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yeah, and he said, well, that's fresh information, you know. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now that's a big deal. Because he really was God and he really was man. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, look how he loved him. But some of them said, God's little helpers. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? So there are a few people that are rewarding him for his compassion, and others are criticizing him because they don't like the way he's throwing his miracles around. Yeah, wow, isn't that something? Yeah. So Jesus says, he's going to rise again. Martha says, yeah, we get it at the end, we will too. And then Mary comes in with the same thing. Now, that would be hard to hear the second time, I think. I mean, it was not easy to hear the first time. But, he asks Martha, I'm sure, like he is going to ask Mary, he said, listen, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And he says, you know, if you don't ever have to die, and if you die physically, you're not going to die to stay dead. If you are a believer, then you're going to live together forever with him. And so that's just a really good question. Jesus was more interested in finding out the condition of their hearts than he was in straightening them out for having questioned his reality. He's more interested in you having the right answer to that question than him straightening out how your grief should be working. Are you with me? He said, but do you believe in me? Because if you believe in me, then I can do this, and it's going to help you, like it's going to help my disciples, like it's going to help those people who are with you. He's not there for any other reason than to prove that God is who he says he is and that he is who God says he is. That's why he's there. So we have this kind of a two camps going here. You've got people who thought, boy, what a nice guy. Look how much he cares about these people. And others were saying, if he cares so much, why wasn't he here and keep the guy from dying? Right? Sound like a church business meeting. That's why we don't have them. Somebody asked me about that, and I said, no, I am not spiritual enough to have business meetings. Jesus, I put this statement, we'll come back to this, touched with their pain and weeping out of concern for his friends, said, let's go to the tomb. Touched by their pain. Verse 38, so Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now, it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. So Jesus said, remove the stone. And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there'll be a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, man, I never thought of that. He goes right back to the heart condition. Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Yes. So, stinking circumstances can't match the glory of God. So they removed the stone. Now, it doesn't say who they were. You know, if you're a good, sensible person and trying to be friendly to the family, and you got this other guy whom you've never seen and don't know, and he said, by the way, I know he's been dead 4 days. Let's roll that stone away. Who's signing up for that? I mean, really, that you had to have had that. Somebody had to have the right idea. Okay, if you say so. And so sometimes the Lord says some things that, why would I want to do that? Well, because that's where the miracle is. That's what happened here. So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and says to the Father, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Have heard me. That means they've already talked about this. He knew before he got there what was going to happen. Man, I like that when he does that. But I don't like it as much when he doesn't tell me until I get there. But that didn't stop him. He says, you and I have already talked about this. You have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it so they may believe that you sent me. So it didn't even explain which people he's talking about. The people that were standing around, ones that moved the stone, some that came and cried, some of them, they weren't Baptists, but they probably brought casseroles anyway. They're coming to help, you know, all this kind of stuff. And he said, I just want the everyday person who's here, because I'm here for a purpose, and I want that purpose to be fulfilled for everybody that's here. Not eliminating his disciples. And that's how he is. He's for everybody. Why are you here? What reason are you here? Do you have a ticket? You know, are you here because you're critical? Are you here because you live next door? Are you here because you went to school together? Why, you know, why are we here? You just saw this band of people walking in. You wondered who they were, and you stopped by. Man, it doesn't matter. Oh, my wife made me came. Well, good for her. She, you know, it doesn't matter. He said, I'm here for these people. I love this. Who are standing around. Now, you could be inwardly pursuing the Lord and not know it. You could be inwardly having a really bad day. And people didn't have to know it. But he knew. This is for everybody. What he's doing and about to do is for everybody. So, so Jesus says, guys, here we go. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And they waited. The man who had died came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, unbind him, let him go. Some versions say, loose him and let him go. Wouldn't you think there'd be a little more explanation than this? Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary saw what he had done and believed in him. Seeing was believing that day. Many of the people standing there who were just standing around saw what happened. But some of them went to the Pharisees and ratted on Jesus. Boy, you're going to have to do something with this. He raised this guy from the dead. You guys better do something. You're going to lose your authority. You're going to lose your influence. You're going to lose your position. This guy's really the real thing. He's got stuff going. And they went and told. I mean, this didn't even hit the newspapers yet. And they had already said, you guys better do something about this. We know that you don't like this guy, and you would try to get him stoned the last time he was here. You better go get him. Aren't humans interesting? Because some people are saying, you have to be God to do this, I believe. And others were saying, oh, these other guys are going to be really ticked. I might get a reward from ratting on him. You think they didn't think that? I guarantee you they did. So, he says, loose him. Let him go. Lazarus, come forth. And like the old country preacher said, if he hadn't said Lazarus' name alone, everybody in the graveyard would have come up. Yeah. Haven't got to say that for a year or two, so. Yeah. Don't you like that? But that's true. He spoke it very clearly. This is, you have to do this. And Lazarus is going, whoa, really? I don't smell good. He's aware of what's going on. And, you know, he's got that cloth thing around his face, and he's all tied up. He's walking like a mummy, kind of, because that's kind of the condition, you know, that he was in. And so even though he'd just been empowered by the resurrection power of God, he needed humans to come and help him attain the fullness of his freedom. Isn't that good? So, well, yeah, I ought to get straight with God, but I'm doing this or I'm not doing this, and I got this habit, I can't, and I got it. He said, shh. Lord will put you in a situation where he'll get people around you that will help you get free so you don't have to do the stuff you were doing, and you don't have to walk the way you were walking. You don't even have to head in the direction you were heading in. When I came to the Lord, I mean, I didn't have any addictions other than my really bad mouth. I mean, I cussed so bad. I cussed in the prayer meetings. I mean, I didn't mean to. It's just, that's how I talked. Yeah. And I have a good vocabulary, and I had a darn bad one too. But people in this little church, you know, let me smoke in a prayer meeting, let me cuss in a prayer meeting. You know, I mean, I was embarrassed when I did it, anyway. But those people said, it was a miracle that they'd been praying with Kathy for me. I didn't even know these people. And I'd have been real mad if I found out that I'd had people praying for me. So, like, what's wrong with me? Well, let me count the ways. But little did I know what the Lord was doing. I ended up becoming these people's pastor. Yeah, crazy. Now you can imagine their condition. But just like Lazarus, he needed people that understood and cared and would get him cleaned up so he didn't smell like that old world anymore. Amen. And get his hands free and get his feet free and get the thing off his face so he could start to see with light and recognize, separate the wheat from the chaff. and not be tempted by some of the things that you used to get tempted by, because they don't look the same to you anymore because you value things differently than you used to.
That's right.
And Lazarus is a good guy. He and Jesus were friends, but he was human. And I told the guys and the gals in the prayer meeting yesterday that I kept having this thing. I was going to write a different ending to the story. So I got to this part, okay? But I was thinking, man, if I was Jesus, of course, I'm not. So he'd never think something this stupid. But it sounded good to me. If I were Jesus, I'd teach another lesson in addition to the ones he's teaching here. And I'd get right to the grave and say, get the stone away and then say, now, could we have that Jewish gentleman that's never sinned, please come forward? That guy that never broke any of the laws, the guy that kept everything, all the commandments, would you please come forward? Well, nobody ever kept them all. Everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the perfect guy never shows up, and they have to end up going home. Because Jesus could have taught a really perfect lesson. Now, he didn't, but can you imagine? Because there are some people who are thinking, unless you were that perfect person who'd never done anything wrong, then you couldn't be doing what Jesus was doing. Well, Jesus is the only one that's never done anything wrong. But that's not what Pharisees and some of those people thought. I mean, you could have really taught a big lesson. Or, that was the head side of the coin. This is the tail side of the coin. Jesus would do that, and after an hour or two, he'd say, you know, that guy's never going to show. So let's do this. And he would get out his book and start reading all of the sins that Lazarus committed in his entire life. Well, he's in there. We might as well get him out. But he did this when he was 11. He did this when he was 19. He did this twice. And give him a perfect record of all of his sins. And because some people would say, if you repent enough like that and get condemned over and over and over again in your mind, maybe someday you'll be so condemned that you'll be so repentant that the Lord can forgive you. Huh? You know what? He just said, Lazarus, my friend, get up! And he got out. The Bible says that Jesus knows his sheep and calls them by name. He just called Lazarus up and out. And then not in bondage anymore. Bound to live free. And he got to. Someday, the Lord's going to call everybody's name.
Yeah.
Individually. And if you know the Lord, you got nothing to worry about. Because he took the penalty for every one of those things on that list. So he didn't have to enumerate them all. He said, no, paid in full. I got it. And then Lazarus got it. He got the value of it. But the Lord will call everybody's name. Everybody stands before the Lord.
Yes.
But if you're in Jesus and Jesus is in you, you don't stand before him for judgment. You stand before him for him to say, okay, you got saved when you were 22. And man, this and this and this really stand out. You get a reward. And he said, you guys missed some of those, but come on in. Mm-hmm. It's a reward issue. If you're not a Christian, it's a judgment issue.
That's right.
Well, that's not fair. No, that's called justice.
Yeah.
It's mercy. It's the way he does business.
Yeah.
And when he speaks that name, I mean, Lazarus didn't say, are you asking for me? Would you repeat that? No. Life came into him, and when life came into him, it obeyed the voice.
Yeah,
see? when he speaks your name. He may be speaking your name today. I mean, if you've never given your heart to the Lord, this is a perfect opportunity for that to happen. And I love the fact that even if you come to him with problems, addictions, habits, failures, whatever you want to call it, he's right here. First thing he said, okay, let's get you free. Let's get you free. We got you out of darkness, out of death, into light, into life. Now we got to get this stuff cut off of you so you can live free, speak freely, and see freely, choose freely. Huh? Did he do perfect? Got up, got out of the grave. And if we could spend the time, we could go on and look. People started showing up to meetings to see Lazarus. I mean, yes, they wanted to see Jesus too, but they thought, well, that guy was dead. I went by there and took flowers. No, he was like most completely dead. I mean, he's dead. And what did they do? There's the guy. Look at this guy's alive from the dead. Well, and apparently he must have acted like the real deal because people came to see him. I thought, that's a great way of describing what it is to come to the Lord. Just it's regardless of what we're in, he frees us from that kind of stuff. Many of the people who were standing there believed. Now, how many? It doesn't say. Today, we would try to do research and figure out how many. But everybody that answered when he knocked on the door. Well, how do you know this, that he's real? How do you know that he's God? How do you know he's knocking on the door? What would I do about that? This is the best advice I can give you. Listen, and then answer the door he's knocking on. And you'll know exactly what to do when the door gets open. And the cool part about it is that you open the door from the inside. You say yes. You say yes to him calling your name. So I think this is an extremely beautiful picture of what was going to happen to Jesus in a few more chapters. This is chapter 11. But it's also a really good picture of what's happened for millions of people down through the ages. Amen. Where they said, yeah, I may not get it all. The disciples didn't get it all yet. But when they saw this, they said, okay. Now this and this and this and this makes sense. When I came to the Lord, I've told you, those of you who've been around, I've told you this many times, but I didn't want God. I didn't think there was God. I wasn't looking at that believing. I went to church because my wife told me that if I really loved her and the kids, I'd go to church. And I said, that's not fair. Well, I think it is. Well, I went. I didn't get saved that day, but I did the next. And the issue was, I was a truth seeker. I had wanted to be a philosophy professor, and I'd failed in that. I was actually the assistant manager of a Taco Bell restaurant because we didn't have any money, and I'd been in school. I had to quit school, and that's the job I could get. So I wasn't exactly thinking I was a huge success because I didn't want to be doing that. I wanted to be pursuing. And the Lord revealed himself to me just as clearly as he could. And he said, oh, the truth you're seeking is a person. And I am he. I wouldn't have got saved for any other reason. I didn't care about the Father or the love, any of that kind of stuff. Yeah, I really didn't. But when he said truth, boom, I said, oh, that's really subversive. You're really sneaky, hiding truth in a person. I never would have looked. And I just said, I don't have an argument. So I believed. He knows how to reveal himself to you. Maybe it's a Father. Maybe it's just forgiveness. Maybe it's getting the shame off of you. For whatever reason, he'll let you know. So I'm going to ask you to let me pray with us. And so if you would just bow your head, if you will, you can just stare at the floor. You don't have to close your eyes if you don't, but if this could just be between you and me and God, that would be great. Holy Spirit, would you come? Thank you for being here this morning. Would you now pull on the hearts of people that just like the people who came because they cared about Martha and Mary, and Lord, some of them just said they were standing around and they maybe didn't even really have a real purpose, but they came for whatever reason. Lord, you see the reason and the purpose in everybody's heart. And we ask right now, Lord, that you would knock on people's doors. They would know that they know that they know that they're making business with you today. Lord, you tell us that if we would believe in our heart that you raised Jesus from the dead and then say about that, confess that with our mouth, that we would be saved. And so, Lord, today, would you bring that conviction on people so they can say yes to you, so they can get free, so they can know you and for the rest of their lives live together forever with you. If you've never done that, or you've never done it and meant it, would you just slip your hand up where I can see it? Just raise your hand up like that. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come and solidify your connection with each person in this room? We want to say, Lord, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we believe in you. Now, if you'd look up for just a minute, please. If you agreed with my prayer, you prayed with me on that, tell the person that you came with. Tell them, hey, I prayed with Pastor John today. That's all you need to do. They'll know what to do to help you. We had an interesting little thing this morning just before church started. Had people coming in the door saying they're in pain. Four different people before church started this morning, and Kurt and Scott were praying for them. Anybody dealing with pain right this minute, would you just raise your hand up if you are? They already prayed for me. There's one. Anybody else? Yeah, there's two or three or four or five. Okay. Can we do this? If you raise your hand or you wish you had them, would you just step out into the aisle, please, one closest to you? We'll do this quickly. I know there are a lot of hams in the oven probably. Well, we've got a good number of people. Now, look around. We need to have people go and get around everybody that's standing. So you can be, and you can just start praying with whomever you're with as soon as you get there. If you stood up to be prayed for and no one's got to you yet, would you raise your hand so I can see that and send somebody over there? We got two things. One, I read to you that Jesus felt people's pain and came to them. And then in Matthew 12, I believe also in Matthew 8, it lists the things that Jesus was healing that day, and one of them is pain. So Holy Spirit, would you come now and eradicate pain? What the origin is doesn't matter. Even what body part, it doesn't matter. We ask for the power of the Spirit of God to come and take pain away in the name of Jesus. That people would walk out pain-free this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think there's plenty of room, and I know that it's a holiday. So, Lord, thank you for being here with us this morning. Would we walk out of here with the victory of God on our countenance. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are free to go.